Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number four, brought to you by DraftKings. Football fans, who's ready to score some free bets? Now you can when you bet on any NFL week with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers who bet just $1, that's $1 on each team to score, can win $100 in free bets. When a team scores, you score also. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Make sure to use code KSN. You just bet $1 on either team to score, and you win $100 in free bets. It's that easy. That's code KSN. This week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only. Restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino, see DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. This is quarter number four, the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Dustin Hawkinsmith. I'm Jim Galante. And Dustin, this was a very interesting coaching matchup we had with Michigan versus Penn State. Jim Harbaugh versus James Franklin. They are two very different coaches, and it looks like they're going two very different paths, aren't they?
Well, I mean, they've been on two very different paths just in terms of the way they approach everything about their job. You know, I don't put a ton into this one matchup and determining, okay, who's the better coach and whatever, but you look at kind of, there's a lot of similarities between, you know, Michigan and its tradition and its program and how they've recruited under Jim Harbaugh and all that, and the way Penn State has gone about its business. And it's just interesting to see the personality of both of these coaches present in both of their teams and programs. You know, Harbaugh is very, and some would say overly committed to a very traditional style of football when there's a lot of progressive change happening out there. And from my viewpoint and a lot of others, that kind of creates the dynamic that Michigan has a pretty high floor, but they've also got a lower ceiling than what Penn State has. So Penn State's got a lower floor, higher ceiling, a little more variation on a season to season and a week to week basis of what you're going to get. Michigan's more in touch with its identity, but sometimes that's not a good thing. I just think there are more similarities between these coaches and programs than I thought before I looked into it a little bit more. Polar opposite personalities of the coaches, without a doubt. You know, James Franklin is that easy to connect with. Like, I don't think there are many coaches in the country who connect better with 17 and 18 year olds than James Franklin does, and that's why kids want to come and play for him. You know, the family atmosphere. I think there's all the things that he preaches, he actually delivers those things, and all those positives. You wish the anti-Franklin crowd would really get behind those things. But, you know, when you talk about game management, it's not a strength of James Franklin. So he's open to ridicule and things like that. But, yeah, I just think, you know, these programs and these coaches are pretty close to me. I don't know your thoughts, but that, to me, I just think, like, it's not that easy of an answer if you're asking which coach would you take for the next 10 years. I would take James Franklin, by the way.
I think I would, too. I think he's the better recruiter, a lot of the things that you already talked about. What I find fascinating in the college game, and especially when you were here covering Penn State and James Franklin, have you seen a guy ever go from the penthouse to the outhouse so quickly, and how fans will turn so quickly? It's almost week to week. Prior to this game, Penn State went into this game 6-3. In my head, I'm still saying to myself, you know what? If they win out and finish the season 9-3, still a pretty good season, a pretty good year, something for Penn State fans to feel good about. You'll get a pretty good bowl game if you beat Michigan and Michigan State. And I start to forgive you a little bit for Illinois. They'll forgive you for Iowa because of the injury to Clifford when you were ahead in that game. And how quickly the loss in this game, though, as a fan, it changed how I feel about this year's team. It's like, I'm not going to give up on the team. I'm not going to stop watching anything like that. I'll be rooting for them. I hope they win their next two games. But I'm saying to myself, you know what? This is not going to be what I'll consider a good enough season for Penn State, and not something that James Franklin as the coach should be proud of. We're looking at either 7-5 or 8-4. And that's how quickly things turn. And now Jim Harbaugh, is it just the opposite? If he finishes, I forget who else he plays prior to Ohio State, but if he loses to Ohio State, he could have a 10-2 season. That should be considered a pretty special year, right? Even if he loses to Ohio State?
I think so. And I think Michigan's in the same tier as Penn State, where, you know, what they are as a program is a program that cycles up to 10 and 11 win seasons, right? And you don't see much of a pathway for either of the programs right now. The way that things are going, I don't see much of a pathway with Jim Harbaugh, because I think Jim Harbaugh is going to get beat by Ohio State again. And at a certain point, you know, with both of them, you know, especially with Harbaugh, it's a bigger issue with Harbaugh because he does not have a Big Ten title. He does not have an appearance in the Big Ten championship game. And there is that looming cloud with his fan base too, which I would say that there's at least some in the Michigan crowd who are as anti-Jim Harbaugh as there are in the Penn State crowd anti-James Franklin. But it's just, I think if they lose to Ohio State and they come up short again, you're still asking the question, who are we and what are we? What do we want to be? What can we realistically be if we cannot ever beat our rivals? And I think it's easy to say, okay, 10-2, they had a fine year. But I think they define good year differently out there, because, you know, when you're on the losing end of the rivalry with Ohio State as often as he's been, you know, you don't get a lot of grace for going 10-2. And James Franklin doesn't get a lot of grace when he goes 10-2 either.
That is a problem. And I just saw recently, to my point about, though, how things change. Right now, Mel Tucker is the hot name, right? And he still has to play Ohio State, so he can still lose that second game. So he's got Ohio State and Penn State. He could still lose games and end up, you know, with a 9-3 record. And Penn State could be 8-4. Penn State will feel like they had a god-awful season. Michigan State, although I think it will change pretty quickly, right now, you know, Mel Tucker is negotiating a new contract with Michigan State already after being there 1 year. And LSU right now, probably Mel Tucker is the favorite for that job. That's how quickly, but in 2 weeks, will it change if he loses these last two games to Ohio State and Penn State? And all of a sudden, is he a different coach? And I guess that's the question I have for, you know, James Franklin. What is he? Is he the guy who won, you know, 10 games, won a Big Ten championship? Or is he a guy who was 4-5 last year and is going to struggle to reach 8-4 this year? How do you judge him now, Dustin?
I mean, for starters, under his guidance, Penn State has not been good in a situation where they are on their heels already. And we covered this quite a bit, just talking about the idea of emotional losses and how they typically compound into a second loss that is frustrating and kind of unexcusable. That's been the MO under Franklin. But then, you know, with that 2016 team, when there is momentum and there is rhythm and there are highs and everybody's confident, everybody's feeling good, you know, they have shown that they can play with just about anybody. So, you know, you have to reconcile that. How do you go about fixing that, the idea that, you know, the leadership in your program, I don't know whether Franklin sulks or just doesn't have the same energy after losses, but it's a clear storyline that's been present this entire time. How do you go about resolving that? You know, James Franklin as a game day coach is not anywhere close to the top 50 coaches in America when it comes to making decisions on game day. Would you agree with that assessment?
Yes.
So, you know, the most visible time for a head coach, you know, whatever the percentage of managing a football game is relative to the entirety of the job, building an organization, building a coaching staff, worrying about all the recruiting and the nutrition and strength training and staffing and all that stuff, You know, managing an individual game is a small percentage of a coach's job, but it's the most important too. And Franklin has proven that that's not a strength of his. But I just think what is Franklin? I mean, I think there is possibility of being something bigger, and there is hope for 2022. I don't think any of this, what's happening now, derails the fact that he'll probably be back next year and not at USC. That's my assessment. But we are in that mode. I've used this terminology a lot. We're 10 chapters into a 12 chapter book, and we're already forecasting the ending, when we all know in the sport of college football, unpredictable is about the most predictable thing you got. So for everybody involved here, Harbaugh could win his last two games, beat Ohio State, and change his trajectory completely. Franklin could beat Mel Tucker, or he could lose to Greg Schiano, and we're really talking about things. Like, the ending of this book, the next two chapters are going to be really, really important for all of them, and I think it's maybe another lesson to not say you've read the book when there are still two more to go.
A couple points on this for James Franklin, and this is kind of up to him. His weaknesses, I think he could be fixed. This season, and maybe even last season, we have to look. Remember those couple down recruiting years? Was it 19 and 20 or 18 and 19? Is that not coming to fruition when you talk about we don't have the depth, we don't have enough players in different places, we don't have a good backup quarterback, you lose P.J. Mustipher, and our defensive line isn't the same? That comes from those down recruiting years. Where is that line? That's still the most important thing for college football team. He's got a great 22 class coming in, beginning of the fix to that pipeline of talent. The other part, what is the problem on game day? Bring someone in, recognize that problem, and bring someone in who stands next to him, who's been through this, and is a good game day type guy. Good with clock management, can whisper in his ear when James just... the hand with these fake special team plays, fake field goal, fake punts, could rein him in. I think these things are fixable for James Franklin.
Get him a game day consultant for sure. I mean, I think that's one. And, you know, like, I just don't think over the course of time you change your stripes too much. If you don't have that instinct for clock management and how to push the right button at the right time, I'm not sure how much of that you can attain, but you can get somebody who can help you through those decisions, and maybe he needs somebody.
I think he does. And stop all that flirting with all the other schools. Put an end to it. Get everyone back on your side, James. Make the same commitment that you want your players to make. That is it for our show. Thank you all for listening, and be sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Who's ready to score some free bets? You can when you bet on any NFL game this week with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers who bet just $1 on either team to score can win $100 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code KSN. That's code KSN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Pennsylvania only, new customers only, restrictions apply. In partnership with Meadows Racetrack and Casino. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.